Welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by Inquirer Sports. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out the insider news as well as listening on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Inquirer Bengals Beat Podcast. And as always, you can listen on our free Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals app. If you don't have the app, well, I suggest rectifying that situation immediately in the App Store. Now, if you're down with BBP, let's go. All right, welcome into the BBP. Paul Diener Jr. of the Cincinnati Inquirer, Cincinnati.com, with my partner in crime, Jim Ossarski. How we doing?
All right, hanging in.
This has been a long day for us.
Yeah, travel Monday.
Dude, travel Monday, coming from a little bit further away than we care to be, is a long day. I'm ashamed of how early we had to get up this morning to fly back. And that we're still doing it at this late hour.
I'm ashamed at the airlines for sending us way south to come way east. Why do we got to go to the other side of Texas before we get to Cincinnati?
It doesn't make any sense. Dallas to Houston.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that.
It was a long. I felt for some of the Bengals fans in the airport with us this morning.
Yeah,
we were on the 525 flight out of Dallas. And that we weren't the only people coming back to Cincinnati that had been at that game. Obviously, we were in the press box. There were some people who were having some sad times in Jerry World that had to make the early flight back. That's rough.
Yeah.
You know, Monday's hard anyway.
Yeah.
But when you traveled all the way to Texas to go see your team play.
And then to play like that.
And they lay the egg. And you got to hear it from all those Cowboys fans. Yeah. 90,000 plus were there. That's just extra sad. Just a low point. But you know what? They packed up their foam fingers and traveled across the country and went back home and sucked it up. Well, everyone, I'm sure you know what's about to happen here. We're about to dive into this. Therapy time. It's therapy time. We're going to get through this together. Everyone, just hold hands and let's move forward. And let's talk about this. So we are about to dive into the 28-14 Dallas victory. We'll talk about all the issues that you guys have, and there are plenty. It was one of those angry days on the social medias.
Yeah.
And understandably so. The Bengals were as beaten as soundly as I can remember, certainly in the last year and a half. Not you got to go back to the 14 season to have a game where they were beaten that soundly. And the last time that they trailed by 21 points at halftime was 2011.
Yeah.
I mean, this just hasn't happened to this team, and it did in a big way. And I guess to start us off here, the question I'll just throw out there was the ceiling a clear ceiling on the 2016 Bengals exposed in Dallas on Sunday?
Well, you know, we're five games in, so
damn near a third of the way.
Yeah, so on one hand, I still struggle to say yes. Well, maybe yes, because in the sense of, look, Pittsburgh, and you and I both thought Pittsburgh was the class of this division anyway. Dallas, maybe we weren't really impressed with who they had beaten. I think nationally, what I've heard last night and this morning was people clearly think this was the Cowboys' best win, most important win.
Definitely
against
was.
The best team they've played. So, maybe Dallas goes 12-1 or 12-4, and in hindsight, you're like, wow, Bengals got trucked, but they weren't the only ones. In hindsight. I don't know, Paul. The AFC North, like the Browns and the Ravens, even though they just fired a guy, they're bad. I don't believe in Jay Gruden's Washington club. in London. I still think this team is good enough to win a bunch of games after New England.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought at the beginning of the year. And, I mean, I'm kind of teetering. I was real confident for season preview picks. Now I'm kind of like, ooh.
Yeah,
you know?
maybe I missed a little bit.
But, I still have a hard time saying this is a 7-9 squad.
Yeah, you know, I would agree with you. That feels like a bit of a stretch, just because the schedule does let up, and a little later. Let's do that. We'll run through the schedule, and we'll actually pick it out. But before I just don't know. There's just so many problems right now.
Yeah.
And obviously Dallas exposed a lot of them. And when you fall behind 21-0, it gets worse. But, you know, it wasn't that there was problems. And Doc wrote about this. If you haven't read it, I recommend going and reading his column from the game. It wasn't that they got blown out. It was all these are things that had been issues here and there throughout the first 4 weeks.
Right.
And not seeing improvement and looking for improvement. And they blew up in their face. And it exposed what could definitely be a reality about this team. And that's that maybe they're just not that good. Now, we've seen them struggle in early seasons before. I mean, if you go back 2014, they got blown out by Indy and New England and sandwiched that awful tie against Carolina in there. And they, right. That moved them to 3-3 at that point because they had started 3-0. But that was really a point where people were wondering what the heck was going on. But that year there was a lot of injuries. And people were, they'll get guys back, right? And you go back to 2012 when they were still a young team and they had a lot of new pieces that were young.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure it out, if that sounds familiar to you. The thing was, that was a quarterback trying to figure it out. And they don't have that now. And they eventually did. That's when they started their run. They were 3-5. I mean, there's a chance this team could be 3-5.
Yeah.
They probably should be better than 3-5 eventually, in theory.
Yeah.
But those teams had holes. Those teams really, and if you really look honestly, weren't necessarily capable of making a deep run in the playoffs, even though they made it. There's plenty of time to get it fixed, but it just there's nobody walking through the door.
No, and I think as you were saying that, Paul, it made me think of the start of the season where this team has currently and had Super Bowl expectations. So in that prism, I think there definitely is a ceiling.
Right, and that's what I'm talking about.
So I don't see that. I guess I'm not really ready to go way the other way, but I you're right, Paul. I don't think unless something really happens.
I mean, what is going to happen?
I don't know.
Where you're going to all of a sudden see a team that got beat pretty handily by Pittsburgh, beat handily by Denver, and throttled by Dallas, the
right.
three good teams that they've played, suddenly be able to go into any of those places and win a tilt. And we'll see what happens in New England. I mean, we could have four examples of them not being able to beat a good team. So what's – Tyler Eifert is not going to come back and change all that. He's the only guy that's really hurt.
Yeah, they're all healthy.
Unless Cedric Pierman's going to change it all or William Jackson. I mean, I just – these are the same guys and that they've had. That's the confusing part. And you say, well, there's new elements and you figure stuff out. Well, sooner or later – the time to figure stuff out salts away, and I just don't see it suddenly spiking where they just catch fire. I mean, it could happen. It has happened before.
Yeah. Yeah, this team, the same group, has won multiple games in a row, 8 games in a row, 7 games in a row years ago, 5 games. I mean, so these guys know what it's like to streak. But, you know, Jeremy Hill said that on Monday, Paul, where he's like, you know, it's put up or shut up time, especially on the offense. He's like, we can't keep saying – it's a little thing's got to get fixed or we're not being consistent. Those are kind of the phrases and words they've used for 5 weeks. And, you know, it was a running back who just put it out there.
Yeah.
It's like we, especially on offense, going into New England.
I just feel like it's easy to say it coming off where the last thing that you saw was them just failing on every phase.
Right.
But they've failed in each phase in different capacities throughout the first 4 weeks.
Right.
So it's just more of the same. But let's jump into each one and kind of attack some of these issues and if there's hope for them, to be honest. Let's start on offense, which wasn't the primary culprit on Sunday, but has been the culprit more often than not through 5 weeks. Yet to top 22 points. Yet to top 22 points. They're far down the rankings in Monday's walkthrough. I sort of went through where they're at in some key categories and compared them to where they ended up last year. 30th currently in third down conversions, tied for 29th in red zone TDs after going 2-for-2 yesterday.
Right.
24th in points per game. They were 7th in points per game last year. They were 5th in red zone touchdown conversion. They were 13th in third down conversions last year. They're 29th in sacks allowed per pass, which is an unbelievable thing that's happening. And rushing yards per play, they're 28th. They were 18th in sacks allowed per pass last year. Most of those because when A.J. McCarron came in, he really struggled with knowing how to get rid of the ball fast enough. When Dalton was in there, I mean, they were amongst the best in the league.
Right.
So, that's the thing, is this is an offensive line that outside of switching Cedric Obwehi for Andre Smith, and Cedric Obwehi had a terrible day.
Yeah.
An awful day. Outside of that, it's the same guys that did such a great job of protecting last year, and the same quarterback making those calls. You have a different coordinator, but if anything, the passing game has been quicker.
Yeah.
So what is that's got to be concerning. Like, what is happening there?
Yeah, and I don't think they know, Paul. I mean, because it, again, you know, Andrew Whitworth was victimized for 2 sacks against Dallas. He had a hold. Kevin Zeitler's had been penalized. Clint Bowling's been penalized, and you know, Russell Bodine just has not taken the leap Paul Alexander really expected him to make this year, maybe needed him to make. I think we all kind of knew Cedric was going to have some growing pains. As a first time, I mean, it was one of our big questions to start the year was, is he ready for this? He had no offseason workouts, and then he had no training camp and no preseason games. So, I mean, on one hand, it's kind of not surprising in a way when you kind of put all that together. But all of them, you're right, all of them have had the moment where and it just kills a drive.
Yeah.
I mean the back to back Zeitler penalties, you know, the Witt hold, you know, the
Bodine sack.
The Bodine sack, and even going to Miami with the bungled snaps, and you go back and you know, so that and then, you know, Marvin Lewis kind of mentioned, well, the offensive line kind of catches all the heat. It's not just them, which is true. In some ways, you know, when it comes to guys being open, you know, and that was what we heard in the locker room. Paul was, well, you know, Dallas ran a lot of cover 2, cover 3. You know, guys dropping 7. There were no holes for us. Andy can't throw it across his body. I mean, they're, you know.
Holes. I need holes.
Yeah, there was a lot of just.
But everyone, like, everyone runs cover 2. And it's not like Dallas came in here like Denver.
No, this isn't like Lovie Smith's cover 2s in the last decade. Yeah.
Dallas came in here. A team that was very, very mediocre and average on defense and had been against every team that they played.
Yes.
It wasn't – this was not the 85 Bears.
No.
I mean, and so
– they rush like it.
They rush, yeah. And the Bengals, for their part, moved the ball pretty consistently and then found some way to screw it up over and over and over. That was the thing. It was like, okay, well, they're moving the ball. At some point, they're not going to continue to just, you know – have a penalty or a sack right around the 40 or 50 yard line every single time.
Right.
But they did. Every time they would get to that level and by the time they screwed it up 3 or 4 times in a row, game was over.
Yeah.
Because the defense couldn't stop anybody running the ball. I don't know where you go. I mean, when Andy Dalton is dropping back and having so many problems with sacks, here's one for you that I found. When I found it, I couldn't even believe. I mean, I thought it would be something. So I went through and looked at the first five games of every season in Bengals history, and what's the most sacks they allowed through five games in their history. This season would be six. They have already had 17 sacks for 90 yards allowed. 2000, 1979, 1984, 1994, 1970. The most in a season is 20. That was 2000 season. All those teams, those other teams I mentioned, are a combined 1-24 in the first five games. Inability to protect the quarterback is a telling stat early in the year. Now, here's the kicker, though, that's really going to kick Bengals fans right in the groin. You're not going to like this. The best seasons through the first five games were the last 2 years. In 2015, they'd only allowed six sacks for 32 yards, and they went, obviously, 5-0. And then in 14, they were 3-1-1, allowed two sacks for 11 yards. It's the same guys who did that, minus Andre Smith for Obwehi. And I'm not going to put this all on Cedric Obwehi. Is that regression? I mean, is it circumstance? Should that even out? That's your only hope, is that you trust who these guys have been. And we said that after the Jets game. Trust who they have been and not one game that went poorly. Right. But now...
Yeah, because they kind of fixed it against Pittsburgh in a way. You know, Arthur Motes had the one sort of sack, you know, where Andy was tackled at the line of scrimmage. And that was kind of like, that wasn't really a sack. You know, they kind of waved that off as... You know, but since then,
and pressures are up. I mean, it's not like pressures, exactly. Sacks. I mean, the whole thing.
The quarterback is having to take his eyes off his receivers to move, and it's funny, Paul, because you know when you get kind of if you watch football only on television, you're kind of spoiled a little bit, and. And I know it's going to sound like I'm protecting the quarterback here, but it's just the reality is when the quarterback has to move immediately, he's not going to see everything that they show you down the field on other sides of the field. Oh, so-and-so was wide open. Well, if you run it live with, you know, like a split screen of what the quarterback's doing and where he's going at that moment. So that's why pressures are a big deal. Because you get a guy off. Someone tweeted at me that Ben Roethlisberger turns those into touchdowns. It's like, well, he's got to throw to somebody, to make that into a score.
Yeah,
and that just wasn't happening, and hasn't been happening.
And Andy Dalton isn't Ben Roethlisberger. Well, very few are Ben Roethlisberger. That's what he does well. What Andy Dalton does well is timing, quick decisions, and finding some place for the ball to go. When that's all disrupted, it throws off everything.
Right.
And that's part of it, too. And then you throw in the fact that, you know, Tyler Boyd, for as good as he played in the preseason and as excited as people were for him, hasn't been a huge factor.
Nope.
CJ Uzomah, we've talked about his struggles he's had as they try to get Tyler Eifert back. You know, LaFell had his first real, not first contribution, but certainly first time he really showed up.
Right.
So maybe you hope that's a turning point for him. But it's the whole thing is just a jumbled mess, and the honeymoon is over with Ken Zampezi and Bengals fans.
Oh, yeah.
That's clear.
Yeah.
He is taking some heat.
Yep.
And it doesn't help him that Baltimore fired Mike Trestman. Now, granted, Trestman's been there for a year and five games.
Yeah.
But, you know, people fire – other teams are firing the offensive coordinator, right?
Greg, everyone,
of course. With Buffalo catches fire after Mark Roman takes the fall. So, I mean, you know, Ken Zampezi is not going to get fired this year. It's just not, that's not the way this team operates. But everyone thinks that they're a great offensive coordinator. Like, it's just it's the worst position. It's the worst coach to be and have a positive relationship with the fan base.
Yeah.
Just everyone played Madden on easy and won 72-0, calling nothing but genius plays. Just doesn't necessarily work like that. I mean, but and fans love to turn on the OC. But the bottom line is those numbers I've mentioned. You know, it's on him.
Yeah,
I mean that's his job is to bring all those pieces together, and it's not happening. I want to bring in some audio of a conversation with Brandon LaFell after the game. LaFell will be an interesting guy this week going back to New England. Nobody right. knows better how quickly these guys need to correct things than he does. Not that anybody needs to be told going to New England's tough anymore. But anyway, his thoughts sort of on where this offense is at and spinning it forward in a hurry. So here's Brandon LaFell after Sunday's loss to the Cowboys.
21 points. We can't do that, man. You can't win this league playing like that.
What did work in the red zone for you this week, and especially on your – can you walk us through your touchdowns?
We just connected this week. Okay. You know, it was a lot of times in the past, we get down there, we'll get penalties, or we'll move the ball back, or we get a defensive pass interference and stuff like that, and we just can't get it in on the crunch. But we just connected it. That's the only thing that changed. We connected it, and that was one of the things week 7 needed to improve on was our red zone offense, and we improved on it, but – we didn't improve on everything else in our game.
Does it make it tough when Andy – I mean, you guys are timing and rhythm-based, but then when he gets off the spot quick and has to run around, what – I mean, I know they were running a lot of zone, cover two. How tough is it, I guess, when he's freelancing and then you guys have to find him, but they're running that type of defense?
It's tough for any offense, any quarterback. You know, once the defense continues to get you off the spot, it's tough. But at the end of the day, we gotta find something to make it work, and we gotta get it right. Got to get it right tonight, because next week it's gonna be even harder.
I'm just finally, are you surprised that through 5 weeks you guys haven't yet? I mean, it seems like there's like the sparks. You see it, a drive here or a play there, but that it hasn't caught.
I'm very surprised, because with the weapons we got on this team and the offense we run, I know we can be way better. But we just got to be more consistent. Right. That's at the end of the day, you can't play this good and this low. You got to be consistent, man.
All right, need to get it fixed tonight.
Yes.
Tonight.
Yes.
Because
plane ride, a long plane ride back to Cincinnati.
T. Brady and B. Belichick already on that.
Oh, yeah.
Because they do not want to take an L on Brady's first home game coming off suspension. They want to send a message the same way Dallas wanted to send a message,
yep.
And they're much more capable.
Yes.
Which is a frightening thought.
Yeah.
Which just makes for an interesting week. So on that note, let's talk about this defense, which has its hands full.
That's probably the most surprising part of all of this.
Because this is what we said, and I feel like we've said it every week on this podcast. The defense is supposed to be what's carrying this team through the offense, getting their act together with all the new guys. And they're the ones, you know, really doing a lot of the – I mean, they're the ones that take the fall for the damage yesterday.
Yeah.
Any offense down 21-0 against a great running team that plays a deep cover two.
Right.
Dallas is built to put leads away. They are built to do that.
Yeah.
And the defense just let them build up a 21-0 lead.
On Monday, Paul, Marvin Lewis seemed – I mean, he laughed, because I think the idea that Dallas went 80-plus yards, 90 yards –
95.
Like, I think he found that so unbelievable that he laughed.
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's see your question setting this. And by the way, was that like your second or third stab at this topic? You were trying.
I was trying. That might have been the second one.
You were taking shooting your shot. You're like, I'm going to keep trying to get at this. I'm like, keep trying to get at this, and we're going to get an answer. And even though he gave a non-answer, his reaction to it, I think, told you all you need to know about what he thought. So here's that interaction from Monday's press conference.
Surprised? I mean, I know Dallas is paid too. They're a good group, but the guy said they didn't do anything that was surprising in terms of what. So was it surprising, though, I guess, knowing your group and knowing how you prepared that they were able to be that successful, I guess?
You want the press conference answer or the honest answer? Can't give that one. No, as you said, for the first part, Dallas is paid too. They're a good football team. You know, they did good things. They executed well yesterday.
That's all you need to that. Do you want the honest answer or do you want the press conference answer? And since you gave us the press conference after that,
right,
we know what the honest answer was. Are you kidding me? That is not the defense that has been around here
since
mid-2000s, pre-Zim.
Yeah.
we've not seen stuff like that.
And that was the thing, too. Like, because at the end of the day, I think it was 180 rush yards, you know, which when, you know, compare it up on paper, it's like, oh, that's not as bad. You know, I think, you know, New York had 150 the first week. But it was just, but it's beyond that, obviously. It was the way Dallas did it and when they did it and how often they did those first three quarters. And it, you know, it was.
Because, you know, we talked to Paul Gunther.
Yeah.
There was no confusion.
Right.
There was no.
That's why they couldn't believe it.
Yeah, there was no, like, okay, they did something that really schemed. They just got their butts kicked.
Yeah.
And everybody we've talked to, coaches to players, said the same thing on off the record. Yeah. Didn't matter. It was, we got our butts kicked.
Yeah.
And there was no excuse for any of it.
Right.
Is that more concerning or less concerning?
Yeah,
it was some gadgety thing that ruined your day. I think you'd be happier to hear that than just got demolished and outmanned, out-physicaled, out-toughed, out-classed.
Yes, you mentioned Paul Gunther, and he said, he's like, look, there's only so much a coach can do, paraphrasing is what he said. And Ray Maluga said the same thing to me later. He's like, coach, he's like, this is not on the coaches. He's like, we practice this. And so it's interesting, Paul, because earlier in the year, before, we, you know, week two, week three, like, oh, okay, these are veteran guys. Like, we were just talking about the offensive line. Veteran guys, they've got a track record. Well, again, 5 weeks in, when are you what you are? So the defense has been giving up big plays all year. You know, wrote about this Sunday. They didn't give up the 40-yard bomb, but let's be real. Like, 3rd and 7, Dak Prescott hits Terrence Williams for 19 yards. 3rd and 4. Hits Jason Witten for 30 yards. You know, so those were Dallas's versions of big plays.
Yeah.
You know,
they don't throw it over the top.
Right. So,
but they run one for 60, and they complete one that's 15 yards, and a dude runs for another 10 or 15.
Yeah.
That's their game.
So I think it is concerning. Because you're right.
Oh,
I mean, because we talked about this, you know, 10 days ago or whatever it was, with the return of 55. All this stuff on Tez, is he the, you know, the turning point, the keystone? And, I mean, he had a nice highlight hit at the end of the game. But, again, so I guess where I'm going with that, Paul, is that it is concerning.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And you brought up perfect. So I just wanted to real quick, you know, he leads a team in tackles with 10, but no other stats. And he should lead the team in tackles.
Yeah.
Like, the defense is meant to funnel to him, but there's no tackles for loss, no forced fumbles, no passes defensed, no sacks, no nothing. Those other stats are are Von Tez, those playmaking plays we talk about.
That's what they were really looking forward to. That's what Carlos Dunlap talked that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Leading into the Wednesday game or the Thursday game was what 55 brings to them.
And it's not, you know, you can't do that every game necessarily, but, you know, I think he only plays 77% of the again, basically like he did the first time. And, you know, I sort of asked again to Paul Gunther, you know, why is that part of a plan? Like, why would he not be out there for 100%, which is what he normally plays. And, yeah, a part of the plan of easing him back in. And come on, man. NFL.
Yeah.
You're only playing 13 games, and you're not physically ready to play. I understand football's hard. Just jump back in. But that's frustrating if you're a Bengals fan.
Yeah.
If he's Mr. Keep everybody on the same page, make sure everybody knows their fits.
Right.
Playmaker, and 23% of the time he's not out there, even though he's eligible and healthy.
Right.
Because he's not listed on any injury reports or anything.
Right.
Someone's going to have to sit me down and explain that one to me, because I don't get it. So a frustration obviously is setting in a little bit with this team. On defense, because it's just not what they're used to. This defense sees themselves as the backbone and the signature of what they are. So I want to give you a feeling for kind of what we're hearing in that regard. So I want to bring in Adam Jones from after the game, who Adam kind of he was taking his time, getting all dressed and getting his bag packed because he knew he was going to want him to leave there and not linger around. But he wanted to say his piece first. So he stood up. He got right into it. He gave about 2 to 3 minutes of what he wanted his message to be. And remember, whatever you think about it, captain.
Right.
And a vocal leader of this team. Whatever you view that as, it's just the bottom line truth. People listen to what he has to say. They follow his lead. And he was pretty clear, I think, about how he felt. So I want to bring you Adam Jones, and then after that, a conversation I had with Drake or Patrick on Monday about frustration building and how to handle that going forward right now, and just sort of a little bit of the bewilderment over where this team is at. So here's Adam Jones followed by Drake or Patrick.
It was all the way around the board. They was a better team. Great game plan, I guess. We couldn't stop them nowhere, basically. Over routes, you know, then you're getting the run, over route run. We got to do some gut checking, though. Everybody need to take a deep look at themselves and figure out how each person can get better to help the team. And that goes for me. That goes for anybody else you want to name. Because at the end of the day, when it's looking right, everybody is doing the right thing. So, of course, we're going to lose some plays, but to come out here and get hit like this is embarrassing.
That's a pretty telling statement, Adam, 5 games in to say that.
Yeah.
Have to look inside yourself.
I'm an honest person, and I'll start with myself. I'll look at the film, and I'll be the first one to stand up and say, I can do AR, could have did this better, you know. I know I missed the one tackle early. I got to make the tackle. So. I think as a group, we need to sit down with our coaches and put it up on the board. You know? And that's the only way we're going to get it back how it's normally been. So I don't say too much. I'm going to start with myself. And we'll look at the film and see if we can get better.
Does it shake you a little bit when it happens in the game? Like you can have a little bit here in one game, happens a little bit, but when it's a game like that, does it kind of wake everybody up a little bit to realize, like, hey, like we're 5 weeks into the season and things like that, or is it you still kind of on week to week mode?
At the end of the day, we should have been looking at each other, you know, week 2 and 3.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't feel like it's no different. You know, you just gotta just go along with the plan.
Yeah.
You know. Buckle down, study extra, do the small things a little better, you know, and because the small things lead to big things. And as a team, I feel like we're going to get it done. We're going to make a run at this thing at some point. But right now, man, it's just going back to the drawing board and, you know, breaking this shit down from point A to Z.
Here's the thing, like, and it's just hard to understand. You guys are a lot of the same group. From last year, that set the franchise record for points and like come back. I think there was this confidence coming in the beginning of the year. This could be one of the best defenses. Is that kind of mystifying for you to figure out, like, well, what the hell's going on then,
yeah,
right?
I mean, I feel like that's one of the frustrating things. You know, expectations were so high coming into this season. We felt like we had everything. And for it not to be going our way, man, you know, it's kind of heartbroken. But at the end of the day, man, I still believe in this team. I still believe it's something special in line for us that we can get the job done. And,
yeah.
You know, we just got to rally together. You know, we got to pull together. Like you said, nobody needs to be pointing fingers at each other and, you know, just buckle down and just go out there and get the job done.
So, I mean, Adam, you know, gut check time.
Yeah.
And we got to sit down and we got to get it. On I think the urgency is apparent. And I'm curious, you know, a loss like this sometimes can turn seasons for the better.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on what kind of team you are. I mean, it can.
Pittsburgh got trucked by a rookie quarterback at home.
And they've been rolling ever since.
Right.
And you see it plenty of times in years where a team gets blown out and just it's a reality check.
Right.
And these guys, I think, are feeling the reality check right now. I fully expect them to come out and play really well in New England. I just think that's just sort of, speaking of New England, the whole on to Cincinnati thing came from a Monday night debacle in Kansas City.
Right.
And they took it all the way to a Super Bowl. The Bengals are not New England. They are not Bill Belichick. They are not Tom Brady.
Right.
I'm not making that comparison. These things happen, though.
Yeah.
Losses and reactions to them can be turning points. I don't know if this one will be for this team, or maybe the turning point's coming on Sunday if you go back-to-back. But
well, the easy turning point is coming in 2 weeks when they get Cleveland and whoever's actually playing.
Or
for
the
them.
Lowest moment in Paul Brown's stadium history.
Wow. All right, you went there.
I'm just saying that I don't, that's the other.
There's no part of my brain that can even comprehend what you just said.
I don't believe it. I'm just saying.
I can see. You know what? Honestly, Paul, with Sunday, I don't think they're going to win. I'm not going to change that. I predicted a loss at the start of the season. I don't think they're going to win New England. But what I could see, I guess, to what you're just saying there is maybe that Sunday night game in Arizona a year ago. You know, it was really like, okay, how good are they? They had the bad loss in Houston to break the undefeated streak. Who are they? What are they? They lost on a last-second field goal, came back. You know, it was one of those games where they lost, but you kind of thought, okay, Arizona's a legit Super Bowl contender. This team can hang. They're in it. So, you know, if they were to somehow go to New England and lose – the offense somehow scores points and they lose 28-24, 35-33, you know, and you can almost feel good about it if you're a Bengals fan, maybe if you're a player.
Yeah.
Because of all the hype and all the circumstance that's going into that game. But I don't really see that happening either.
No. Well, not the offensive aspect of it. I could see the defense really playing well and holding Brady down a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like a 27-20 thing, something like that. You know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, we were talking about that 2012 season when Peyton Manning came in here and that Denver team, and the Bengals were reeling. It's the loss that made them 3-5. They lost a bunch in a row, but the Bengals played well, even though they ended up losing that game. Peyton did Peyton things. They played well, and there was a sense of confidence that came from that. Because they didn't play poorly like they had the previous weeks. And the next week, the Giants came into town defending Super Bowl champs at that point in time. And they waxed them 31-13 and never stopped rolling the rest of the season.
Which I can see happening. You look at the schedule now. Like, they play well in New England.
Yeah. So let's run through it. Let's run through it. So we're both chalking them up to L's. So 2-4, right? Cleveland, they're going to win. They're 3-4. Washington and London.
I got that as a W.
Yeah.
I'm not buying the NFC East.
That could still go outside of Dallas. That could still go either way. Let's give it to him for the sake of giving it to him.
You don't have to agree with me.
No, I don't. I'm not saying that I wouldn't do that. I'm just saying I don't know. That's one of those that could go either way. At the Giants. Giants are kind of messy.
Yeah. I think they win that one. I think
on the road on Monday Night Football.
Yep. I think this is the meat of the streak. This is the streak for them.
Washington and the Giants.
Cleveland, Washington, the Giants, and I think
Buffalo at home.
Yeah,
they should beat Buffalo at home.
I think so.
Even though Buffalo's feeling themselves right now, that's gonna come apart.
Yeah.
At Baltimore, they have owned Baltimore in recent years.
And look, Baltimore. You know, you mentioned at the top of the podcast Mark Trestman getting fired. I've been saying that dude. Since I walked in the door at the Inquirer a year ago with all that Baltimore love, I said, just wait till you see that offense.
Trestman's garbage.
And then it was like, oh, they're all hurt.
He could be the reason that the firing of him could really be the reason that they get it together.
Yeah. So until that's proven otherwise, we don't know that. I still don't have faith in that team anyway. Terrence West, I'm not buying that. Come on. Although, granted, anyone that the Browns got rid of,
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that's the run. I think that's the streak that we've talked about that this team has gone on. Is that part of the schedule, right?
Yeah.
Going into that Philly game.
Cleveland, Washington, Giants, Buffalo, Baltimore, yeah. Philly, Cleveland again. I mean, none of those teams are you really scared of. None of them are anywhere near as good, really, as Pittsburgh, Denver, or Dallas.
No. No. And look, Philadelphia's played really well. I was a little surprised that they kind of did what they did in Detroit off a bye. Detroit's a bad club.
Not that bad. Apparently.
But every team's flawed. Put it that way. Every team's flawed. But if they go out, I guess I reserve the right to change my mind at any point. But I just look at this. I've seen what those other teams are. And I guess I still don't know what the Bengals are.
Yeah.
So I'm still giving a group that's won 50 plus games in 5 years that benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
At least rolling into, although now I've changed my mind, I guess. I don't think this team beats Pittsburgh at home.
No.
In week two, I was like, oh, yeah, sure. They'll get it figured out at that point. Because you know what I mean? They were 1-1, they were down at possession. So I've changed my mind on that.
Yeah, and then at Houston. Houston's still kind of turkey bowl.
Yeah.
But
the house of horrors, Houston.
Yeah.
The team of horrors.
You never really know.
On Christmas Eve.
You don't feel great there.
I think you can see
how the run could happen because, I mean, look at it. The three teams they've lost to have three total losses. And the teams that they've beat, obviously, are both 1-4, which is your concern. Are they closer to the two that they've beat, or are they closer to the differential, I would say, in the games against the good teams makes you maybe suggest that they're closer to the teams that they beat than they are the ones that have beaten them.
Yeah.
And that's probably your concern there. But you're right. You see where a streak could happen. But they've still got to get it together. And then what does that even mean? It means you sneak into the playoffs and aren't not good enough to beat any of the good teams.
Right.
And you're right back where you started. So, again, the ceiling, like we talked about.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move it forward here. I got an email. Well, I got a number of emails, but I got one that I really liked. You know it's a bad day the game emails are popping up from readers with, like, you know, WTF or what's going on. It was happening, like, in the fourth quarter while I was trying to write the game story. All of a sudden, I keep seeing these reader emails pop up. Okay, so I got one. It came in right after the game yesterday. And I believe my man is a BBP. Yes, he is. He's a BBP listener. So, Damon Downs, I hope that you are listening, because I'm about to read your email. He starts off, first, please let me say I enjoy your coverage. Thank you very much. Very nice. I spent some time pondering the Bengals' loss to Dallas today. It seems the wheels have been slowly coming loose since the season started. And then it hit me. The reason why the Bengals haven't been the same team this season. Some people want to blame the loss of Jones and Sanu. Others may say that Eifert's injuries are the problem. Some may even blame the loss of Hugh or think the team is still reeling from that inexcusable loss to the Steelers in January. Some people may think the defense isn't quite the same, but I have a different theory. Brandon Tate is gone. Ever since he was cut, the Bengals have been a shell of them former selves, and until they find a way to get him back, it won't get any better. So as much as some people want to bring the Tate hate, I say we embrace the man that caused so much controversy amongst Bengals fans. We need to insist, no demand, that Mike Brown find a way to bring back the man that stirs the Bengals' proverbial drink. Pull off a trade, give up draft picks, maybe give away AJ McCarron. Whatever it takes, bring back Tate. Until then, there is no hope for this team. I'll say it, even though he didn't write it. Hashtag you're the tater.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love it. Damon, obviously, very much in jest. Certainly appreciate your humor there. We all miss Brandon Tate, and I think you cannot deny he was a centerpiece of all things chemistry, team chemistry. That had to have been it.
Yeah, I can't.
You're not going there.
I can't. I can't go with that.
Thank you for your reader emails. Feel free to keep sending emails. When I get good ones, I have no problem reading them here on the podcast, as you know. Okay, moving on. You know, we got to get to the bets.
Yep.
Browns and that's so Jaggy, which congratulations to the Jags for not losing this weekend. Yeah. Enjoying their bye and not hurting my feelings this weekend, which is nice.
Right.
speaking of, very exciting here. We can tell you about one of our sponsors here.
Yeah.
MyBookie.net on board with us right now because you know what? When it's football, it's time to gamble.
Yeah, it is.
You got to get in the action. Play like the pros at MyBookie.net. That's where you got to play, Jim.
Yeah. No, look, the important thing about the debt that's so Jaggy and the Browns bets that we had going on, real Vegas odds.
Yep.
No, yeah, because you got to do that. And, you know, and MyBookie.net, I'm in favor of the props.
Yes.
Personally. So they do player props. And then even, you know, hey, you're a little late to the action. You can bet once games begin, too.
Yeah, they have live in-game odds updated in real time. It's never too late to make a play. It's, of course, optimized for your smartphone users. Because let's be honest, you're not gambling on your laptop.
No.
You're running around, following your scores, and you want to know if you're losing cash.
Right.
Anyway, so go online, type MyBookie in your browser and sign up today. Use the promo code BEAT, B-E-A-T, as in Bengals Beat Podcast. Use the promo code BEAT to be entered into their $1 million prize pool, or you can call 844-722-2387. Join the thousands of online players that are already playing. Only the biggest, only the best, only at MyBookie. Sign up today. Thanks for having MyBookie on board with us. The Browns are not winning games, and I feel pretty confident appetizers will be coming my way at some point. Cody Kessler goes down, and then Whitehurst comes in. Charlie Whitehurst, the other touchdown Jesus. And he goes down, and now Terrell Pryor's taking snaps. Yeah. Supposedly Kessler's going to come back, but it's just a weekly "Are you kidding me?" moment every week for Hugh J. It is it's unbelievable.
It's not no.
And what did we say? What did we say last week when we were talking about Vegas can't make a line big enough?
Yeah, they can't.
They couldn't. 31-13.
Yeah.
So we were saying in the 15-20 range.
Yeah, I think
it's probably where it would have to go. Probably depending on, I just couldn't believe the line came out. It was only 10.5. That was crazy. That 10.5 did not quite cover. So that's so Jaggy. They're going to need to come back, get some wins. But the AFC South is so bad. I mean, the Colts are trash. Houston's Turkey Bowl.
Yeah.
The Titans are hot
after
beating up on the Dolphins this week. I mean, wins are sitting out there for the Jags to get it together. They can make their
opposite,
run.
Yeah, it's the opposite of the. Well, I guess it's kind of like the AFCs, except that team just there's no team like the Patriots that just eats up on that.
Yeah, no doubt. So that's where we're at with those bets. It's not as exciting when you don't have a Jags game to talk about.
No,
because that's really where it all goes down. All right, so let's move it on. Oh, we got to find out what's making you mad. You ready for this? All right, let's bring it in. Why you so mad, son?
Yeah, it would be easy. I could go chalk. Could go chalk and do a travel thing, but I'm not.
What? No. I thought you were for sure going to go travel.
I've seen a disturbing trend. Well, it's a trend that I've seen for a couple of years that's bothered me, which is the salmon shorts on dudes.
You're going salmon shorts?
Well, no. See, because now we're getting into the fall, and somehow, some way, dudes are thinking salmon pants.
Oh,
this is the way to go.
Salmon pants.
No, salmon shorts are bad enough. I don't know what it is about.
What? Why you hate salmon pants so much?
I can't explain. It's just a rage.
Is it just the color?
There's a rage that builds when I see
tight, skinny salmon pants have to be like the centerpiece of evil.
It could be. But see, here's the thing. It's like old guys now wearing it. See, it's one thing when I'm like out at the music festivals and you see like that 22-year-olds with their fake Ray-Bans, you know, and like whatever in their, you know, basketball jerseys and salmon shorts. I'm like, all right, I kind of get it.
They're young, lame. They're kids, yeah. They're still figuring
okay,
out
now,
who they are.
Now grandpa's rocking salmon pants. It's got to end.
You can't do it, grandpa. And when is grandpa getting the idea he can pull this off? And what store that he buys pants at?
That's what I'm saying.
Salmon pants.
That's what I'm saying. It's over.
I blame the retailers. Don't sell them. I don't care if they're going off the shelves. You need to do it for the betterment of society.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. After our long travel day that we've had, I'm surprised. This is an upset of the week that yeah. you didn't go.
That didn't go travel.
That you didn't go travel. I'm shocked. All right. So. We're gonna get out of here now that you've gotten that off your chest.
Yes, I feel better.
I'm glad you feel better. Of course, we have the BBP2, the Deuce coming up on Thursday. We will get into all things Patriots and a number of other topics because I got a gut feeling this is gonna be a week full of storylines here. There's just a lot happening with this game. It's going to be interesting. So we'll obviously have all that stuff for you. Your Pro Football Focus, your hot seat, Pat Sims.
Yes.
P. Sims coming to Beyond the Stripes on Tuesday. Like we talk about Beyond the Stripes all the time because, you know, we have Hoffer House, who we love, where we have the show at now. Sometimes we guests are kind of built towards them. You want to get a big crowd in there for them, so you put it a big name. Sometimes sponsors love ones that are catchy. You know, you have one that's for the sponsors. You have some that's for a particular group of fans that like just a popular guy that they've been demanding. And then sometimes we get to do a show for us.
Yeah,
this is one for Jim. This is the gym. I mean, everybody loves Pat Sims, but he's not a huge name, but he's just a fun dude. And you guys are just like, he's got a bond. He's got a bond.
You know, you know what I can't get with Gino.
Yeah.
I get with Pat.
You get with Pat. And if you want to come down, meet him. Also, former Bengals quarterback Kenny Anderson is going to be down at Hoffer House with us on Tuesday. I mean, so you want a name. Maybe one of the best quarterbacks in Bengals history, guy who probably should be in the Hall of Fame. So if you got any merch, any Kenny Anderson merch, bring it down. I'm sure he'll sign for you. He's got a big event coming up this weekend, a walk through the stadiums.
Yep.
It's a very cool event down in the Banks. So you can find out more about that. That story about that will be up on the website. And he'll talk more about it also on Tuesday. And I'm sure we'll go into a number of other different topics with Kenny. So come on down to Hoffer House Tuesday, 7 o'clock, Pat Sims, Kenny Anderson, and us. Yep. So that'll be a good time. So you'll hear the hot seat from that night with Doc also on the BBP2 coming up later this week. All right, let's get some music to go out. Did you have some? I got an idea. Unless you think you have something.
The only one I had was because we had to do the trip through Houston early and we were groggy and we don't know what's going on with this team.
So Beyonce.
No.
I was gonna try to make you mad at that.
No. Ghetto Boys.
Ghetto Boys?
Mind playing tricks on me. That might be a little too rough for the BBP crowd.
Might be a little rough. I had an idea. Maybe it's a little rough. Maybe it's a little rough. I was gonna go. You know, we often just pass over. I'm a classic rock guy too. Like it often gets passed over because we end up in a lot of hip hop areas, and that's fine. I love hip hop. Don't get me wrong. Which, by the way, when I got up, I thought this was an omen today. When I got up to walk off the plane when I landed in CVG. Turn my Pandora back on. First song that came on to the next one.
There you go.
It felt fitting. I don't want. That's not the song I have now. I'm just pointing out. I thought that was fitting in case it's just a story to tell. But the Who, the real me. Did we see who the real Bengals are this past weekend?
Look at you. Going deep.
You see, that's deep. Yeah. That was deep. I love the Who, and we haven't been able to break them out very often. So I wanted to bring them out. Honorable mention to Ghetto Boys. I just think we got to remember our young audience, impressionable ears.
Yeah,
the Who's good.
They're
good
wearing for everybody. Shorts. don't care about their ears.
So much hate. All right, let's get out of here on that note. Let's bring in the Who, and we will talk to you in a couple of days on the Deuce. Have a good one.